Have you ever been shut out, cut off, separated from people? It's bad for your mind, it's bad for your physical health, and it leads to completely disconnected communities of people. Now, contrary to claims made at the beginning of the digital age, online communities appear to have increased feelings of alienation, not fixed it. My next guest says Australia faces a community crisis, and he's been tracking it for some time. Andrew Lee, federal Canberra parliamentarian, he's the federal member for Fenner, I think from memory, has written a new book called Reconnected, a Community Builder's Handbook. Andrew Lee, welcome back to Brisbane Radio.
G'day, Steve. Great to be with you.
Last time I spoke to you, I think it was when you wrote Disconnected. Is that right, from memory?
I think that might be right, yes. What? So this is Disconnected was about the problem, Reconnected is about the solution.
Just remind me what led to the disconnection disaster, as you wrote about it.
Well, we saw over the course of the decades leading up to 2010, a big drop in church going, union membership, a big fall in the number of Australian associations and the share of Australians joining them. And then when Nick Terrell and I went back to write Reconnected, we looked at the data again, found the problem, if anything, had gotten worse. We documented that there had been a halving of the average number of friends that a typical Australian had, that there had been a two-thirds fall in church attendance. Now, the Australians knew half as many of our neighbours as we did in 1985 when the TV show Neighbours first aired.
So what is social capital? This comes up a lot in these sort of discussions. What is social capital, Andrew Lee?
Social capital is an ugly term for a beautiful concept, Steve. It's the idea that just as physical capital, bridges and roads, human capital, skills and knowledge have inherent value, so too does social capital, the ties that bind us. We know that business works better in communities where people trust one another, it can do deals and a handshake. We know that politics works better, grounded in the bedrock of trust. And we know that a life lived with friends is fundamentally a better life. It's also a healthy life, too. One study suggests that not having any friends is as bad for your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
That's a pretty stark comparison. I once had a researcher here in Queensland, Dr. John Harrison, tell me that research shows radio, specifically the radio medium, builds social capital. So I'm wondering, given that the rise of digital media, is the digital media partly responsible for feelings or actual increased alienation?
I think it probably has played a part, Steve. So we've seen a big increase in the share of school students who say they're very stressed, up from a third in 2005, before the rise of the smartphone and social media platforms, to now a half of school students who say that they're very stressed. We've even seen a rise in the youth suicide rate over that period, and some researchers have suggested there's a causal link to the use of smartphones. Now, the big question...
Can I jump in there, Andrew Lee? As a federal parliamentarian, there's constant demands every year for more money for mental health. Wouldn't it be better to have more money to use less mobile phones or less screen time, and that might fix the mental health problem in the process?
Well, the thing that Nick Terrell and I argue in Reconnected, Steve, is it's not about turning off the technology, it's about using it more mindfully. It's about what we call cyber-connecting. So there's terrific uses of Facebook to build communities. One of my favourites is Catherine Barrett's The Kindness Pandemic, set up during the lockdown, joined by 500,000 people and used as a platform not just for sharing stories of generosity, but also for encouraging people to help. For example, to step in and provide antenatal classes for women whose classes had been cancelled. There's terrific community groups that are using online platforms to connect diverse communities. Think of being transgender in a regional area. So the internet has been fabulous, technology can help to bring us together if we use it more mindfully. But these devices are created by people who are experts in the psychology of addiction. They understand why poker machines are so addictive, and they've employed some of the same technologies in designing social media apps.
My guest is Andrew Lee. He's a federal Canberra parliamentarian. He's co-authored the book Reconnected, a Community Builder's Handbook. He co-authored it with Nick Terrell. How did Plato describe politics? I quite like his description. Can you recall? It's actually in your book, Andrew Lee.
Yeah, Plato talked about the idea of politics as being something, the notion, the art of living together.
That's it, the art of getting along together.
Yeah, yeah. He said it's as simple or as complicated as that. And in some sense, you know, we can often make politics too complicated, Steve. We can think of it as being something that other people do. But the fact is, politics isn't a spectator sport. We're all on the field. And the idea that we can just cheer or jeer like we do at a terrific sporting match is nonsense. The best of politics is when everyone gets involved and when the political systems are porous and encourage people to have their say. But I worry too much that social media has come to dominate people's engagement in politics and come to take the place of going along to a local council meeting and speaking about the impact of a local development, which might be somewhere where you can make a real difference, you know, in a way that firing off an angry message on your favourite social media platform could never do.
What intrigues me in your book is that secular writers and philosophers like Alain de Botton praise the approach that religious groups take to moral education. Alain de Botton argues, and you actually quote this in your book, wisdom largely consists of applying accepted truths rather than finding insights at the frontiers of philosophy. Now, that would seem to me to be going against current secular arguments. How do you see it, Andrew Lee?
Yeah, it's a fascinating argument, isn't it, Steve? I mean, I think too often secular philosophy tends to focus on the sort of nuanced insights of new findings, whereas really living well is about recognising that you need to put your phone down, spend more time with your kids, that you need to spend more time praising your spouse. According to one study, five times as much praise as criticism, that you need to spend time with those around you rather than getting distracted by the latest outrage. These are simple truths, and religion has been very good at reminding us of their importance. And the school of life approach that Alain de Botton focuses on is one which is about recognising what it is to live well.
People with religiously based social connections are more civically engaged, more generous, and they're even more generous to secular causes, your book cites. Is this true?
Absolutely. They give more money to secular causes. They give more time to secular causes. They're even more likely to give blood. And part of that is just that one of the best predictors of being able to, of helping out is being asked. And religious groups have been very good at asking people to chip in their communities.
You also write that secular organisations benefit from the civic energy created by faith-based groups, which was a surprise to me. Is that acknowledged amongst secular groups that you research?
I think it's often not. You think about the many community church organisations and other religious organisations that have campaigned on issues such as the death penalty, on social welfare, and just provided simple support in the community. That generous helping hand that religion has outstretched to the vulnerable has been incredibly important, and that's something that gets lost in a more secular age.
Isn't this a strong argument for school chaplains, Andrew?
I think it's an argument for having a more tolerant attitude towards religion and recognising the value that religion brings, even if you're not yourself a person of faith.
Okay.
But the other thing I should also flag with you, Steve, is that amidst this very highfalutin discussion, I've been called to vote in the Parliament. Another minute and a half before the doors close. I'm literally outside the door of the Parliament.
Oh, let me see if I can squeeze in one more then. Is your book an antidote to Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals? Remember, Saul Alinsky argued, pick the target, freeze it, personalise it and polarise it. Loved by progressives, but it seems to me that your book is an antidote to Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals.
That's a really interesting notion, Steve. I have to ponder the sort of link with Alinsky more. I think fundamentally our message is that a life lived with others is a better life, and that Australia has become too much a country of me rather than a country of we. We see this both in terms of the rise in inequality, but also the decline in friendships. And I think the two are linked. Strikingly, Australian books are more likely to use the word me and less likely to use the word we than we were a generation ago.
Wow. I'll let you go in for the vote. Thanks for spending so much time with me.
Delightful to chat, Steve. Take care.
Federal Labor parliamentarian, not from Queensland, in Canberra, for the electorate of Fenner, Andrew Lee. Andrew Lee's been writing some interesting books for quite some time now. His latest one is called, it's co-authored with Nick Terrell. Andrew Lee's book is published by La Trobe Press. It's called Reconnected, A Community Builder's Handbook.